I don't care who the person is, if you love them at all, you love them for one of those three reasons: who they are, what they have, and what they've done. You say, well, but I love my children, so I don't believe God loves me. But here's the reason God can love you no matter what, is because God does not love you because of what you have or what you've done or who you are. God loves you because of who He is.
This is an excerpt from the teaching by Mark Gorman titled, God is Love, which is part of the Faith series.
Now, it's obvious that a miracle is not performed unless somebody needs it. God doesn't perform miracles just for fun, just to show off. So, I mean, there is a need present. I'm not saying there's not a need present when a miracle is performed. What I'm saying is that the reason why the miracle was performed was not because God said, well, they needed it so bad, I just felt like I had to do it for them. God did not do that. I can't find anywhere that God performed a miracle just because somebody needed it. God performs miracles in response to faith. Yeah, amen. Amen. Israel didn't cross the Red Sea, even though they needed to.
This is an excerpt from the teaching by Mark Gorman titled, God Responds to Faith, which is part of the Faith series.
You got to be passionate. You got to have a passion about something. And what I've done is I've done an acrostic, an acronym for the word passion. So we're going to start out with the P in passion. It stands for the word prize. Now, this is very important. In fact, I'll probably talk more about prize than I will about anything else. If you're taking notes, you just want to write P-A-S-S-I-O-N down the side of your page, and we're going to have a word for each one of those letters. And the first letter, P, is for prize. If there's no prize, there's nothing to be passionate about. When I wanted to cancel my trip to Hawaii and get back home from Australia, why did I want to get back home? Because Gina was my prize. I wanted to get back to her. I was passionate about getting to see her. I wanted to be with her. And therefore, I considered her to be my prize. I'm going to tell you something. If you don't get excited and revved up about something in your future, you'll never have passion about anything. You'll never have passion about anything. Somebody asked me a while back. They said, Mark, when you get passionate about something, you're willing to make a sacrifice to get to it. You don't have to have everything right now. That's why that Jacob said, look, I'm willing to work 7 years and then another 7 years to have what I want, because I understand delayed gratification and I'm willing to make sacrifices to get to where I'm headed. Most people today don't understand sacrifice and they're not willing to make sacrifices. But let me tell you something. Successful people are not lucky people. Stop saying that. Stop looking at somebody who succeeded at something and say, man, that must be nice. I hate that when people do that. Must be nice.
This is an excerpt of the teaching by Mark Gorman titled Passion, which is part of the Faith series.
How did this woman place a demand on the anointing of God? She touched him. You say, well, how can I touch him? With your faith. Obviously, we can't reach out with physical hands and touch him because he's not physical. At that time, he was manifested in the physical. He was manifested in the flesh at that time. But now he is not physical. And you may ask yourself, how can we reach out and touch him and receive of that anointing? Through your faith. For faith is spiritual and God is a spirit. And if we reach out by faith, we can create a demand on his anointing through faith. Because faith acts like a vacuum. When you apply your faith in regard to your need, what actually happens is your faith creates a vacuum and pulls the anointing right to you. Hallelujah. Somebody get excited about that. That faith creates that vacuum that just pulls the anointing right into your life. Pulls it right into you. People want to be healed. They just don't want to go to any sacrifice to place a demand on the anointing. But you've got to come to the place that you recognize your only hope is the anointing. Your only salvation is the anointing. The only hope you have is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And when you come to that place, you will say, I don't care what you tell me to do. I don't care where I have to go. I'll do whatever I have to, but I must have the anointing. Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead.
This is an excerpt of the teaching by Mark Gorman titled Placing a Demand on the Anointing, which is part of the Faith series.
See, the key is that if God gives you a promise or a challenge or a test that is bigger than your faith, then what you need to do is to strengthen yourself in faith. You need to focus on strengthening your faith, on building up your faith and getting it to the level that is necessary for you to be able to receive the fulfillment of the promise. You say, but I don't know if I can do that. Do you know what you just said about God? If you say you don't know if your faith can get big enough to do that, you're saying that God doesn't know how to measure. You're saying God doesn't know how to measure. That God gave you a promise and He measured incorrectly and you'll never be able to grow into it. See, I don't want to just leave you hanging here saying, get your faith to grow. How do you get your faith to grow? Look at what it says in the latter part of that verse. Verse number 20, we'll go there again. It says, He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. He did not look at the circumstances. He did not look at the situations. He did not take all that into consideration. The only thing he focused on was the latter part of verse 20. It says, He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, strengthened himself in faith, giving glory to God. Giving glory to God. And look at the next verse. How did he give glory to God? It says, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Does that say something to you? He was absolutely convinced that God's track record worked. Now look at what he did not consider when he was considering whether or not the promise could be fulfilled. He did not consider the physical aspects of the situation. He did not consider his ability to fulfill the promise. He did not consider Sarah's ability to fulfill the promise. Somebody was talking to me the other day about something. It was a situation.
This is an excerpt of the teaching by Mark Gorman titled Strengthening Your Faith, which is part of the Faith series.
If there's not any obstacles between you and where you're headed, then I question the validity of your destination anyway. If you don't have to face a challenge in order to get there, then what's it all the big deal about anyway? To me, the thing that brings value to the destination is the obstacles that you had to overcome in order to get there. I admire Caleb, first of all, for what he did when he was 40 years old, but then I admire him more for what he did when he was 85 years old, because he still had this attitude of huge. This guy had, he had a big attitude of huge. You say, what do you mean, attitude of huge? Well, I started to title my sermon. The anointing of huge or the attitude of huge is a combination of faith, courage, passion, and vision. That's what it's a combination of. Faith, courage, passion, and vision. That's what this man was. He was a visionary. He saw a place that was inhabited by giants, and he had the capacity to look beyond the giants and see the potential. Let me tell you something. There are some people in this world who are so artistic that they can look at a slab of marble and see the statue that's inside it.
This is an excerpt from the teaching by Mark Gorman titled, The Attitude of Huge, which is part of the Faith series.
See, the storm gives you an opportunity for a miracle. But what we typically do is We say, God, could you give me a miracle? I've seen people on television talking about miracles, and I've read books about people having miracles. I never have had a miracle. God, could you give me a miracle? He says, okay, let's put you over here in this storm. So I put you in the storm. You say, excuse me, Jesus. I don't like storms. Could you get me out of the storm? Okay. So he gets you out of the storm. Jesus, how about that miracle? Okay. Put you in a storm. Jesus, I don't like storms. Could you get me out of the storm? Okay. We'll get you out of the storm. Jesus, we're about to have a miracle. And we keep going back and forth and back and forth, never understanding that the reason that we get into storms is not that God's wasting our time. It's not that he forgot about us and left us on the stove too long. It's not that God doesn't realize that there's a storm out there. It's that he understands that if we're ever going to experience his miracle working power, we have to be in a position where we need a miracle.
This is an excerpt from the teaching by Mark Gorman titled Victory in Trials and Storms, which is part of the Faith series.
But you know what's the most amazing thing is? He got them to this place. Now understand, he had over 500 years to time this. Do you hear me? He had over 500 years to get this timing down pat. And when it came to them getting to this place, they'd been walking around in circles out in the desert for 40 years. He had plenty of time to work out the timing to get them here at the right moment. Is that right? I mean, if he's had them walking around in circles for 40 years, he can certainly get them there at the right moment. But have you ever felt like that God had a poor sense of timing with your life? Have you? How many of you? I know I have. I felt like God had a poor sense of timing in some things in my life. It says here that when they got there at flood stage. Now, can you imagine this? He had over 500 years to work out the timing, and he got them there at flood stage. You would think that he would have gotten them there at a different time, wouldn't you? You would think that he would have worked it out to where they would have gotten there at a time when it would have been easier to get across. God did time this event. God did not get them there at flood stage. God got them there at harvest time. Do you hear me? There are no mistakes with God. There are no accidents with God. And if God got you somewhere when it looks like Jordan is at flood stage, if you will only lift up your eyes a little bit and look beyond the thing that wants to pull you down, look beyond that thing that wants to carry you down with it, if you will look further into the distance, you will see that the fields are white unto harvest, and God has gotten you there at exactly the time that you needed to be there. He has gotten you there at harvest time. Amen.
This is an excerpt from the teaching by Mark Gorman titled Don't Give Up, which is part of the Faith series.
With God, failure isn't final. God is more concerned about where you end up than he is about where you started out. Amen. He's more concerned about where you're headed than he is about where you've been. And somehow, we have forgotten that. And we need to be reminded that God is the God of a second chance. God wants to extend mercy and grace to you. God is not, like, you know, it amazes me the people who think that God is out to get them. If you are one of those people who thinks that God really wants to get you, let me explain something to you. He's not that bad of an aim. He would have gotten you by now. Please listen to what I'm going to say to you. There's some of you who are sitting here tonight thinking that you are a failure. But I need to explain something to you. Failure is an event. It's not a person. It is impossible to be a failure. You may have experienced a failure, but you are not a failure. You are not the personification of failure.
This is an excerpt from the teaching by Mark Gorman titled, Failure Isn't Final, which is part of the Faith series.
Let me tell you something. He became poor so that we might be rich. That's the Word of God. He became sin so we might be righteous. Nobody has a problem with that. He became wounded so that we might be healed. Nobody has a problem with that. So now we don't need to have a problem with this either. He became poor so we might be rich. He wants us to have abundance in our lives. God wants to give you as much money as He can trust you with. May have discouraged a few of you right then, but a good man, in fact, I'll give you the text for it. Proverbs 13:22. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. And I had somebody tell me, well, actually, I think that that inheritance is an inheritance of like godliness and character and integrity and holiness. And I said, no. It's an inheritance of cash. You say, well, how do you know that? Because the second half of that verse says, and the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. What's the wealth of the wicked? Is it godliness and character and integrity and holiness? No. What is the wealth of the wicked? Cash. There it is. Come on, say it like you believe it. There's a harvest with my name on it. Man, you got to believe that. You got to believe. You got to know that you know that you know. Faith is the evidence. It's the title deed to things not seen. My faith in God. My faith that He became poor so I might be rich. My faith that He gives seed to the sower. My faith that He says that a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. My faith that He says, I want you to prosper and be in health, even as your own soul prospers. My faith in God's abundance causes me to say that I have proof in my heart that there is a harvest with my name on it, and I won't stop looking until it's in my barn.
This is an excerpt from the teaching by Mark Gorman titled God's Plan for Prosperity, which is part of the Faith series.
Most of the time when people who sincerely want the will of God in their life, most of the time when people miss God's will, when they're trying to find God's will, it's because they assumed that His promise was His will, so they try to do the promise. And we are not to do the promise, we are to do the will. He says that after you do the will, you will receive the promise. The promise is not for doing, it's for receiving. And His will is not for receiving, it's for doing. The promise is the reward for doing His will. Let me show you what I'm talking about.
This is an excerpt from the teaching by Mark Gorman titled, Winners Never Quit, which is part of the Faith series. All of the selections on this CD may be purchased in their entirety. You may do so by visiting the store on our website, markgorman.com. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you is our prayer.